I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Never in my life have I been so happy to be back in the studio.
Yes, air conditioning, roof over our heads. Yes,
no
I love it.
Tent. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio. We have got your back automotively today.
Today.
With Long Island's only automotive radio talk show that caters to all of your needs, no matter how crazy or cowbellish they may be.
Yes, let's hear it for crazy and cowbell.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
good to be back in the studio after last week being at Tobey Beach.
Yeah, I got a part-time job as a stop sign after being out there in the wind and the sun for
right.
a bit. But
we got beat up a bit.
Yeah, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
3 hours nonstop. That's too much even for us, for ourselves.
That's
you know?
Right. And we did have a rocky first hour with our transmission. We had to use a cell phone. And
yeah,
so
it was
the show
definitely
was
neutral.
A little truncated, a lot of music. All those shows are up on the website at motormouthradio.com. They're also on iHeartRadio and on Spreaker. And you can listen to them. I listened to the second and third hours. They're the better ones. And we had a bunch of guests coming through.
Yeah, yeah. We had we had people from all different walks. We had civilians.
Right.
And we had people from the business. And we had car owners.
Yeah.
It was quite the cross section. You know what it is? We didn't have to stand out on like Hempstead Turnpike and grab them in.
That's right.
They actually walked up to us willingly.
The best was when we're sitting there with headphones, with microphones, and people come up trying to talk to us.
Yes.
It's like, can you see where, you know?
Yes, I know. I was up on my sign language there.
Yeah.
I'm busy right now.
I see you're good with one letter in particular.
Yes, that
one,
I know.
That one.
The digit number 3.
Yeah, that was a good one. But anyway, you can also find all our content, like I said, on motormouthradio.com. We also put our stuff up. We communicate on Twitter at Motormouth Radio, on Facebook, same way, and on Joe's favorite Instagram.
Real_MotormouthRadio.
That's what we put a lot
trying
of
trying to find that underscore.
I know.
That day. We couldn't see it. It got blinded in the sun.
Put a lot of our pictures and stuff up there. So give us a call if you have a chance. You want to talk cars or nonsense. 516-572-7440.
Yep.
And we're hoping to hear from the people, from the guys from the Oyster Bay Show, and then also from the Long Island Oldsmobile Club.
Yeah, a little recap. Yeah, plus, we didn't get to see the dust off.
Right, we couldn't.
Slash wash off.
Right.
Yeah.
They did okay. Hopefully they'll give us a buzz and we'll get the info right from them. Otherwise, I'll tell you what I found out from.
From definitely not because that is a great show as well. You know what I mean? It was amazing and today too. I mean, actually, I hope you're listening on your car radios or on your portable personal device and not just sitting in the house. Or like staring at a laptop or a desktop. I hope you're outside because it's freaking gorgeous.
It is. Good day to be out. Yesterday was nice, too.
Yep.
And to cap it, I was working with Mike yesterday. We're working on my Impala. We're trying to beautify that car a little bit.
Mm.
And then he and I and Kevin, Kilowatt Kevin, went out to the Smithtown cruise night last night. That's where the Long Island GTO Club meets.
Ah.
And yeah, it was like a rainy night in Whitestone. There was like six of us. Maybe seven or eight.
The hearty souls.
Yeah, because a lot of guys went to Muscle Palooza. They went up to Lebanon Valley.
Oh, okay.
To the track to do some
racing. Right, right, yeah.
In fact, Andre, the guy we used for alignments, he went up there, too, with his Nova that I've seen on the rear bumper. Streetcar.
Talk about alignments.
Yeah, right. He's good at them, yeah.
I sure hope so.
So, but it was a good cruise. And I tell you something, I did have a little bit of a malfunction.
Malfunction?
Yes. What's your major malfunction? And it's a good teaching moment about, you know, having stuff in your car, your older car.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, as we were cruising out, I turned just the dash lights on, so I had the running lights on. And Kevin noticed the light on my volt gauge was flickering.
Mm.
I said, yeah, you know, it did that last time I was in the car at night. It's, you know, and I reached behind it, because it's under the dash, and I could fiddle with the wire, and it would change. I said, yeah, it's just a connection. You know,
yeah.
it's a metal, we're talking old school. It's a metal socket into a metal gauge.
Right.
They're all grounded. The other lights were solid, so I know the ground was good because they share a ground. I said, I got to look at it. So when we were going to leave the cruise night, we were waiting for Mike to come back over. He'd taken a bit of a walk. And I turned the lights on. I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. And I got under there. I touched it. I'm playing with it. And all of a sudden, poof, all the lights went out.
Oops.
I'm like, oh, boy. What happened?
What did you do?
So I pulled the socket out of the gauge. And the bulb, it's a bayonet twist mount.
Right.
The bulb stayed in the gauge. I'm like, okay, the bulb, that's where the ground problem was.
Ah.
The bulb into the gauge. So I got it out, plugged it back in. No good. This is where the tools come in. I went into the console, took out a nice LED flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the fuse box. And found two blown fuses. One for the cigar lighter, I don't know why. And then one for the instrument lights, which makes sense because that's the circuit that I was tapped into.
Right.
So I went into the trunk, into the toolbox that I have in there, and took spare fuses.
Yes. Always carry spare fuses.
Took
you never know.
Took my fuse puller, mm-hmm. you know, that I use, because you don't want to get glass in your fingers. It hurts.
Right.
And was able to effect the repair, new fuses. Car was fine after that, no problem. But the point is, you know, when you have an old car, have some stuff with you.
Yeah. It's not
basics.
Yeah, because basically newer cars, all you really need is a cell phone. Because you ain't doing nothing on the side of the road. You know, that whole MacGyver thing with like duct tape and mechanics wire probably won't work, especially if one of the electronics took a dump.
Right.
You know what I mean? So forget about that. And fuses, yeah, everybody should have, you know, they have them in a lot of the parts stores, like the fuse assortments.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least spend a little time and look and see in the box which ones that, you know, the prevalent ones. There may be a couple of oddballs, like, you know, threes and fives or whatever. But a lot of them tend to be like 10, 15, and 20.
Right.
In a lot of cars.
Exactly.
Because
in the owner's manual, they give you usually
table. And just, you know, spend a few bucks, keep them in the glove compartment, mm-hmm. because it can, you know, depending on what fuse pops and why, it can be darn inconvenient. I mean, it cost me like $50 a number of years ago, because I was out cruising around. It was in my Chevelle, and the fuse for the radio popped.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the other occupants of the car, you know, one of which is a
boy, know. Never in your life.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, I think the bass kind of blew out the radio. Anyway, so I stole a fuse.
Right.
All right, yeah. And I popped it and got the radio back.
Was the guy mad?
No, he couldn't catch me.
Oh, good.
But
good.
Actually, the person who did catch me was the local police, because stupid takes out the taillight fuse.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Because I wasn't thinking. I just wanted to shut her up.
But, you know, funny you say, funny you say that, because I knew I was dealing with the dash circuit.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, before I had gotten the fuse, I said, let me go make sure I have taillights and brake lights.
Right.
And, you know, I know they're on another circuit. Like, we just talked about redundancy and repair.
Yes.
I said, let me see it. Then I know I got it.
Yeah, because
I said, I don't want to drive home without dash lights, but I can.
You can put a flashlight in your mouth, you know, tape it to the side of your head,
you
or whatever.
Don't want to drive home without brake or taillights.
Yeah, because then people don't know what you're doing. I mean, even though this is New York, it's like, what? It's none of your business what I'm doing. You know, it's just not politically correct, or it's really good, not very good for your insurance rates.
Exactly.
You know? Talking about another stolen fuse story.
Uh-huh.
I had this one on the tech line back when I worked for Standard. I had this Firebird, V6 Firebird, and it had no power, absolutely no guts, and I had the guy hook up the scanner and tell me it was running very lean.
Uh huh.
And I go, well, it sounds like, you know, he says the plugs are good, got a good spark, this and that. But it's running really lean. And I says, okay, how's the injectors doing? He goes, they're okay. I changed them. I'm like, okay. And I said, there was a connector where you could check them. I says, three injectors didn't have power.
Oh.
Okay, so which means the car was running on three injectors.
Yeah.
Got this story from the customer, and the radio blew out. And the owner of the car, to shut his girlfriend up.
There you go.
Swiped the fuse. He didn't, and in those particular, those Firebirds, you had one fuse for each bank of injectors.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the, go look at fuse 15.
Yeah.
What fuse 15? What do you mean there's no one in there? So I said, go grab one. Stuck it in there, car straightened right out.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then when we found out, though, is the guy swiped the fuse. So, you know, when you start playing musical fuses on the side of the road, you know what I mean? You never know what song you're going to end up playing.
You better be tuned up right,
mm-hmm.
or else you'd be playing a different song for
sure. Yeah, so all of a sudden, you never know what's going to stop working. Like, the rain starts, and now the power windows don't work, or some other kind of idiocy. So. Basically, it's something that should be considered a must, such as in the same way you would, like, say, some type of tire repair, whether it be a jack, a spare, fix a flat, whatever. Right. You know what I mean? There's certain things you need to have just to get home.
And I'll tell you the truth, that's something that I do. I always think about that. In my cadre of stuff, I don't have. I'm not set up for flats in my Pontiac. I'm really not. And the reason is I have 17-inch wheels, and I have two different size tires in the front and rear.
Right, so, yeah.
Plus, not only that, I have two different size studs on the wheels.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Half-inch studs in the back.
Uh-oh.
So I have a... I did, I have a donut, a Space Saver spare in the back that I keep meaning I got to check these things and see if I can get. And I realize like
I hope it's got sprinkles of glaze on it because as a spare tire, it ain't going to do you a whole bunch.
I keep thinking if I ever do have a flat or a blowout, I'm going to have to use my Hagerty policy and get a flatbed.
Yeah, no, because at that point, not only that, but trying to jack that thing up on the side of the road someplace, and especially if you're far away.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're around the corner, if you're up the block, that's one thing. But if you got to drive on, the highway,
right,
or someplace where you're not going to be going, 30 miles an hour, mm-hmm. Tops, it just becomes a little bit unsafe, So why tempt fate, especially with your good car,
know? I'll go you one better. I have a bumper jack
right
in the back of a Pontiac jack. It's not in my trunk because now it's, I think, 2 years ago, I went to Rolling Thunder to stop by and one of the owners who, he won't rename any of us, it's Tom. That's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Tom did it. He came out and says, hey, Ray, do you have one of those old style bumper jacks? I'm like, yeah, I do. It's in the trunk. He goes, can I see it? I'm like, yeah, you can see it. He goes, can I borrow that? And he wanted to take a small tree out of the ground in at a cemetery where his dad is buried in.
Right.
And he wanted to use the jack to. I said, yeah, okay. He goes, I'll get it back to you. I'll get it right back to you. In a couple of days. I'm like, okay, it's been 2 years now. And every time I talk to him, he's like, I still got. I said, I know you do, and you're gonna bead blast it and paint it before you give it back to me now.
Oh, absolutely, bead blast, get it rebuilt for God's sake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, when you borrow tools, that's always a big thing. Always, I'm a big fan of you clean it off, and if you're in a shop, a lot of times I'm in somebody else's shop, and I may need something that I don't carry in the toolbox, which, my stuff is mostly limited to diagnostic stuff. I got some quarter inch drive stuff for that kind of thing, but
right.
Anything bigger than that, if I got to do something, I got to borrow I got to borrow somebody's tools.
Well, I'll tell you what,
we were supposed to borrow that blue light there.
We're gonna wait on that. We're gonna take a break. We're going to come back. Should we climb a mountain? Maybe climb a,
anything from that album, son.
I don't know. Maybe we should.
If I had the guts to get a tattoo, that would be on my bicep or butt cheek or something.
Let's go upstate. And we'll see what happens up in upstate New York with, we'll see what goes on there on 90.3 WHPC.
The show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury. Their upcoming event and calendar include the 70s Soul Jam, starring The Stylistics, The Emotions, Peaches and Herb, Eddie Holman, and Carl Carlton, on Saturday, June 1st at 8 p.m. And Live on Mars celebrates David Bowie, his music, artistry, style, and showmanship, featuring the vocals and likeness of singer and lifelong Bowie fan Alex Thomas, covering the Bowie back catalog from Space Oddity to Let's Dance and everything in between, on Sunday, June 2nd at 7:30 p.m. More information about these and all of their shows can be found online at thetheateratwestbury.com.
This hour of programming on 90.3 WHPC is being supported by Garden Social, Long Island's exclusive beer garden and kitchen, located in East Meadow at 1964 Hempstead Turnpike in the Best Market Shopping Center. Featuring over 2,800 square feet of outdoor patio with pergola, over 24 local and regional brews on tap, live music, over 20 TVs to enjoy the game, and appetizers including bacon-wrapped onion rings, a giant East Meadow pretzel, and more. More information is available by searching for Garden Social LI on Facebook or Instagram, or online at GardenSocialLI.com.
Well, well, well. You know, Steve Mandracina was playing some Chuck Berry, and Steve Kelly was playing some Chuck Berry on Revelations last week, but I've never seen Joe Duck walk like that in my life. Let's go right back to the phones.
Leslie!
And we'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yes. Hello.
Alexa, stop.
Yes, Callie, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good afternoon, Ray. Good afternoon, Joe D. It's Bob from the Olds Club.
Hey, hey, buddy. Bob. Tell us all about your great event from last week.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. We did have a good event, despite the rain.
Right.
Yeah, right, which I think we all got a little wet during the show. But we had a good show.
Off.
We had about 200 cars come out, and we had some really neat cars. There were two Rios. Which I had not really seen before, but
classic
a derivative
stuff.
Of an Oldsmobile, I'll call it. But
yeah.
We had a 28 and a 1930 Rio. Those owners brought their cars out. They drove them in the rain.
That's great.
But they got there.
Hardy got souls, there. Definitely.
Yeah, we had a nice time. We had the kids zone going, the big bouncy and the basketball shoot, and we had a nice lady named Lou who did face painting for the kids. So even though it rained on us twice, everyone stayed. No one really moved out. We got some cars after the showers, and everybody stayed about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and the show really was a good success. Everybody seemed to have a good time.
That's good. What was the car count down as expected because of the weather, Bob?
Well, we thought that, this is the first year we changed our date. And you guys were down at the Tobey Show, and thank you very much for mentioning us up north by Merrick Road.
We don't forget you.
Not at all. And we were kind of thinking it would be down somewhat. But I think, when it rained at 10 o'clock, some of the owners probably thought it might have not been on. But it was down a little bit, but we're expecting the next show to be bigger and better.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you guys always put on a good one. I mean, I was headed out to meet up with Ray, and Queens was nice, sunny, not maybe a couple clouds in the sky, but as I got to right around maybe the Coliseum on the Meadowbrook, all of a sudden it was like, who opened the valve on top of my car?
Yeah.
I was like, what the?
Yeah.
It was very strange because really there was a shower in the forecast for like 6 a.m.
Right.
But I got a couple of calls from guys in Staten Island and Queens that were on the way, and they were giving us like a 15-minute warning that, hey, it's raining in Staten Island, and then it's starting to rain in Queens. So it must have just moved along the South Shore and, to the middle of the island. But I think a lot of places on the island may have missed that rain.
Right.
I think you guys got it, right?
Oh, yeah, we got hit.
I had it before we left town, but we didn't get rained on down at the beach.
They
said before we got there was some rain.
Right. Well, I rolled up to your house and it was raining. I was like, and then as we drove out, it taped it off right about the time we rolled up to the parking lot.
Kept saying it's a good thing my car has a roof and windshield wipers.
Yes. I was, very thankful you didn't bring the Fiat.
I heard from Ed Morrow down at the beach that there were one or two cars down there that didn't have tops. So they were a little concerned if it was going to rain on them.
Yeah, it's always a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but all in all, it worked out for everybody. It's it is what it is. You know, it's weather. It's outside. You don't know what you're going to get, so you just kind of roll with it. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the spectators came out. You know, we had a couple of hundred, maybe 500-600 people come through the gates, and
very nice.
And I have to tell you, the people that were there, that short period of rain didn't seem to bother them. It may have deterred a few from coming, but the ones that were there, nobody complained. Nobody left.
Right.
For the most part, you didn't see 40, 50 cars leaving because it was going to shower. But everybody stayed. We had the trophy presentations, and it was really cool. We had some really, really nice cars down there. I know you guys did, too.
Oh, yeah.
Quite the turnout, too. And, you know, I think with the rain, basically what you get is the real cars. You don't get the trailer queens.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Trailer queens are all well and good, but you got guys who actually drive the car, use their car. You know, if they get caught in the rain, they don't, you know, they don't need counseling for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Send it out and get
it. That's true. I mean, there were a lot of people, didn't seem to bother them at all. I think we really, I think a lot of people now really want to drive these cars, and they really want to enjoy the cars. So, like you say, it has a roof and windshield wipers. Obviously you don't want to go out in a downpour, but hey, if it sprinkles during the day, you get through it.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
You know. Yeah, we also had a good turnout for, you know, this was the first year that we partnered with the John Thiessen Children's Foundation.
Right.
And we raised money for families on Long Island with kids that are facing cancer. Mm-hmm. And
worthy cause.
Yeah, it was a nice showing. We did, like, I guess you would call it a silent auction.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, everybody on that field came over and bought tickets. He had some nice prizes. He had like Billy Joel tickets and Jimmy Buffett tickets and things like that. But all in all, we're waiting for the count, but I'm sure we raised a good sum of money for that cause.
That's great that you did.
Yeah, and John does such a great job because, he supports the families with some sort of financial assistance, you know, defray some of the medical costs, and he does a toy drive during the holiday seasons, and he has a store set up or a place set up where the kids can come and do the Xbox and things like that. And he really does assist sick and underprivileged children. So, along with families that you know that have means but just need help, a little bit more help to get through something like this, which we all would. We all know that would be a very big hardship if you have someone who's sick in the family.
Now you're parting with a great cause there, Bob. That's fantastic.
Yeah. He's a good guy, and he did a great job too.
So now let me ask you this: how do you and the guys in the club, how do you rehab after the big show? Because you wait, all year you wait for that, and now you have to wait till next year. So how do you kind of come down off that high?
Well, it'll be at 5 o'clock today.
Nice.
We're all meeting, our board is meeting, and we are going to go through the good points and also, where we can improve.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we make this more automated next year, and how do we reach, the people that have been coming. I mean, it was our 43rd annual. We have people coming 20 years to this show.
Yeah.
And Ray used to do some work on that field, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did a car show on that field for 10 years. And I've actually been to your show. I've actually put a car in that show probably about 15 years ago, I guess. Is that how long is it? No, it was a long time ago. So, yeah, it's an excellent place, excellent venue, and,
Yeah, good time. Think there's, I mean, even before I was in the club, and if I couldn't frequent many shows, I always went to this one because of, just because of the layout, and Oldsmobiles are dear to my heart.
Right.
I always thought it was a good show, and I think the following we have, people appreciate that we go through a logical way to judge cars, and that, if you do win a trophy for first, second, or third place, it's earned. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of time, trying to do the very best we can for the folks that come in.
Let me ask you this, Bob. I walked around the field at Tobey a few times. At the end of the show, Joe, I, and Steve, our friend Steve, got to walk around and look at what was left. And I tell you, I said to myself, I'm glad I didn't have to judge this show because the cars...
That was some impressive stuff.
Just one nicer than the other. It seems like that game has been kicked up quite a lot these days.
Yeah.
You know, how do you guys deal with that? I mean, cars are so close, and not even, you know, stock cars are stock cars. You have a format for that, but when you have a resto mod, it's kind of like the handcuffs are off. You can do what you want when you build it, and you can do what you want creatively and, you know, without going full bore custom, but you can do mild custom stuff to it, and that all adds to the beauty of the car. And boy, like I said, I'm glad I didn't have to judge it.
Yeah. Well, we do a couple things, I think, that helps us. Number one, we group, we separate the classes and group all the cars in that class together. So if there's 10, 12, 2 or 3, depending upon how big the class is, we can actually see all the cars side by side and do a good job. And we have some of the same judges yearly that pick the same classes, so they get very familiar with certain years and models as well. But we can see them, and then again, we're judging on conditions, and that can be hard. I mean, two other things that we did last year, we opened up to rat rods. Now, how do you judge rat rods?
Right.
You know,
right.
So that was we didn't get enough of them, but we're inviting the listeners out there, if they have rat rods, bring them in because we want to see them. And then also we opened it up to the new cars, the muscle cars. Our show really was about judging cars through 2004. So, anything from 1897 to 2004, we could judge those. We didn't judge the newer cars because we just let them go on the field. But the new Mustangs and the Challengers and, some of the other cars out there, we opened it up to them. And that's a hard one to judge because, those cars are all... you could have a 2018 or a 2019. How do you judge that? So in that case, we didn't go with a point system. We kind of just went with a judge's favorite.
I can give you just pass on to you what we had done. Back in my days in the Long Island Supersport team, the Impala Club, I was the head judge, the chief judge of the club, and we had 94 to 96 Impalas. At the time, they were brand new cars.
Yeah.
And there were shows that wouldn't let us come and enter. And they said, no, we don't want new cars in the show. Like, how do you judge that? It's a brand new car. It should be, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, or close to perfect.
Original air in the tires, original oil in the pan.
Yeah. And we took offense to that, but then we got together as a group and said, they have a point. Like, what do you do? They're brand new cars. They're collectible, hopefully, and they're nice. But yeah, you put it next to a Chevelle, a 68 Chevelle, and boy, you really can't compare the two. So what we had done, Bob Davern had done this. He is the guy who did it was the Halloween show, the Monster Mash.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And what he did was he came up with the idea. He says, listen, I'll tell you what, why don't you, because he saw we would come to the show and we bring 30 or 40 cars. So that was substantial. That was not you're not talking 2-3 guys there. And he said, I'll tell you what, why don't you guys, because I'll supply the trophies, but you guys judge your own cars against your own cars, not against the rest of the field. Give me the results and I'll supply you a first, second, third place trophy. And we did that for several years and had great success with that. We were now unto ourselves. It was kind of like a little show within a show. But, the public really didn't even know that.
Right.
And we were happy because we were at a bigger show and we got to show off our cars. And yet, he accommodated us in a way that was very creative. And I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. At least they acknowledge your existence.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's where we must have used your idea, because there are certain clubs that come in, let's say if it were the Caddy Club or the Southside Boys or, some of the others, we do that. Because it helps us and it helps them, and they're a better judge of their own cars.
Exactly.
In that case. And that's a good idea. I'm glad you brought it up because I forgot that.
yeah. No, exactly it is. Southside Boys, they're a custom modified club. They have all sorts of older stuff.
Yeah.
But the Cadillac Club, a lot of that stuff is stock, original stuff. And even though they have a multitude of years, it kind of makes sense to let them do it. They know their stuff. They know their cars.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, cool. So, but hey, I wanted to thank you guys for letting your listeners know that we were up there and we were out on the field. And
yeah, we were waiting to get found out and said, hey, what are you guys? But we kept I said
shameless plugging.
Until we're told to stop, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you know, if we didn't fall on the same day, there were a couple of guys in the club that were going to come down there and help out.
Right.
And as you know, and maybe the listeners don't, but there's a car council and the council of all the clubs, and now we're meeting with the municipalities to try and schedule around each other so that, you know, we don't have conflicts. But in this case, you know, the Tobe show was supposed to be the first week of May, which was really our show, so we said we'll go on the 3rd. And then they had to move up to the April 28th because of the marathon, which it rained.
Right.
It also rained on the first Sunday in May, as usual.
Right, right.
And then we ended up on the 3rd Sunday together anyway. So, but it not for lack of effort, and not for you know, not that we wanted to do this, but you know, we did try. And when you know, participants come in and they mention that, we say, hey, we are trying, and there's a good effort out there. You know, 35 clubs meet, and we all pick dates and try to stay away from each other geographically and on that date so that, you know, the car community on Long Island can get out there and enjoy all the shows that they can possibly get to.
It's harder and harder to do with all the clubs and dates. It's tough. I always thought that there should be, you know, a Suffolk and an Nassau, you know, just break it off. And because if, you know, let's face it, if you're going to a local show in Nassau County somewhere, you're probably not worry about competing with a guy in Smithtown or Southold, you know.
Right,
it's like just
right.
geographically not possible, but whatever. So
we got some Queens guys that come to the council too in the Bronx. So, you know, they they're represented as well. And matter of fact, we meet at King's Point. We met at the Merchant Marine Academy there, which is in Queens. So I think, you know, I love to go to the Queens and the Staten Island and the Brooklyn shows as well if I can get there.
Right. Well, growing up, I tell people where I was from, and they said, you live in Queens? I said, no, East Rockaway, not Far Rockaway.
Yeah, that's like, right. Me, too. I grew up in East Rockaway, and then Brook, too.
Yeah,
they always said that. No, I said it's east of Far Rockaway.
Right. East nowhere. All right. Well, Bob,
it's even farther Rockaway.
Thank you.
We're going to run. We look forward to speaking to you again soon, and we'll catch us later on.
Great talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Nice
talking
to you.
Man.
Thanks,
thank you.
All right,
have
Bob.
A great show.
So long. Thanks.
That's
all right.
Good.
That was Bob from Long Island Old's Spring Dust Off Show giving us a report. Joe, I see out the window here, I see planes, I see maces, I see a few horses, I see.
Are you imagining things?
I am imagining something. Yeah, maybe I'm imagining there's
imaginary?
A Western out there. Yes.
Well, you work for Disney.
I think I do. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with more Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We'll be right back. 90.3 WHPC.
Hello, this is Uwe Riggers, host of the German Hit Parade. Tune in every Monday evening at 7 to hear many of the most popular German recording artists of the past 60 years. Hört euch die schönen Lieder an. During our 60-minute show, you will also hear about the latest events in the German-American community, and you will never know who may turn up live at our studios or at what event we may turn up live. So tune in every Monday evening at 7 for the German Hit Parade on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
It's now easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC. coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Yeah, I know. I forgot the wagons, but
that's. I knew what you meant.
They're circling out there somewhere.
Yes, they're leaving the city
in an imaginary
going
western.
Going to the next show. You know, they have. They probably have a wagon class too. I'll bet you at some
they
point.
They may be.
Another, you know.
You know, and I think I saw a one of those little Ricky Tick player pianos on there.
Of course, a little honky tonky
on the back. And if you like pianos, you can listen to Piano Man on this fine station today, Sundays at 3 p.m. Because where else but Long Island would you find a radio show devoted to the music of Long Island's own Billy Joel? Right. Chris Muldoon hosts the show, and he digs deep into Billy's catalog to include live performances, interviews, demos, and covers. And if you love the Piano Man, you'll love the Piano Man show. So listen to day three.
How could you not?
Yeah. I mean, well, you could be out getting greasy, working on a car, or some stuff
it's
like that.
It's a good weather day for that. If you're out in the driveway or whatever,
yeah,
getting stuff done. Because let's face it, the season is upon us.
I know.
So
you know,
get them wheels out there.
The season for car shows too, and I have to mention a few from some of our good friends.
Yes,
the Police Surgeons Benevolent Association car show is on Sunday, June 2nd at St. Anthony's High School. That's 275 Wolf Hill Road in South Huntington. That's, again, through the Centurion Cruisers, our club. They put that together. That's going on. Also, that was the last one. And our buddies from LICOA, the Long Island Corvette Owners Association.
Yes.
They have two shows coming up. First one is, let me get the dates right, July 7th is the first one. That's the all-car show. I guess it's, you know, everybody's invited. That's at the Vanderbilt Museum, which is a great venue.
Oh, that's beautiful over there, yeah.
We may be going to think about taking a ride out there. That's a beautiful, beautiful venue to see.
Yeah, we'll have to grab. Well, that's true. It's all cars, so we don't even have to, like, appropriate a Corvette there.
No,
you know?
We don't. And then on July 21st of this year, LICOA and Teachers Federal Credit Union is doing a show at the Teachers Federal Credit Union on Motor Parkway in Hopog.
Rubber baby buggy buggers.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm still coming off of next week, last week, so I'll give you some.
Listen, we'll come. no argument there.
Yeah. We'll give you more information as we know. But those, and hopefully we'll get some of the, maybe the principals from that show. My buddy Tom was the past president of LICOA. Hopefully we'll get him in here and we'll talk about his stuff.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, it's always good when we get the show principals to give us their angle on things, because it is an event. Just setting up our one little tent.
And, let's not get into the tent.
Yeah, I mean the whole Megilla of, like, multiply that by like 1,000 between the cars and the music and It's an event. There's a lot going on. Let's face it.
The good thing is, if you have a good car club, you delegate and you have members who do certain things. And if they do it, you know, every year, they, you kind of get into the groove and you just kind of know what to do.
You need a crew.
Yeah, you do. You need a good crew. And, you know, if you have the fight is always trying to get new members in the club and then get them involved, because if they're involved now, they can be involved later. And that becomes the future of the club. You know?
Yeah, that's it. Because, you know, as some of us age out or change car companies or whatever, you know, you need new blood. It's the circle of life, you know.
That's right.
So
you're right.
Let's face it. So, yeah, otherwise it'll just be us old guys forever and ever. And pretty soon
we'll be skeletons sitting in the lawn chairs, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, actually, they'll have to come up with a wheelchair class. You know, we'll have the original unrestored wheelchairs, and then, of course, then you have the customized iron lungs.
Right.
You know, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, so younger folks, help us out. Get in there and, you know, let us teach you before we forget what it is that we're supposed to teach.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, I've been in car clubs since the 70s, and at the time, you know, I remember I was a young guy, so I was in there with all the young guys. Bill Carberry and I were in the same club back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And the older guys, who were probably like 30 or 40,
right,
you know,
Yeah, remember when those were the old guys?
I kind of remember us kind of, it was like almost, even though we were in the same club and we were all friends, it was like, yeah, well, it was like us and them. But we wanted to get together to plot something. Like, we did it on our own. We didn't go to the, let the older guys hear about it. Let's, let's
right.
not. Because we don't want to get, you know, berated or in trouble. So, again, it's always a hard thing. You want to incorporate your members and to have a cohesive group is
tough. Yeah, you want participation. You want inclusion, you know?
Yeah.
Because everybody, you know, everybody's got something to contribute, even if it is a bad guys, you know?
It's true, though. Like you said back, we talked about this all the time, how we did it in our own private personal lives, how, you know, guys knew who to come to get the valves adjusted or to get the carburetor rebuilt or to get
right.
the same thing in the car club. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people had specialties and you knew who to call if you needed something like that done. And it gave you a great, you know, the Exceeding Limits Truck Club, those guys were the epitome of that. In modern day, as far as I'm concerned, they took the old, like, 50s mm-hmm. standards and they
kicked it up a notch or two.
They would be, like, taking a body off a truck, and they would make the phone call, and, like, you know, in 15 minutes, they'd have a line full of...
Nine guys would show up and...
Right. Well,
let's see who shows up on the phone.
Hey, baby.
Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what are you doing? It's Mikey from LT. How you guys doing?
Mike, hey, what's happening, man?
What's going on?
Nothing much. You're right about the car clubs, though. Yeah, you knew who to go to.
Right.
You know, well, you knew the neighborhood guys. You know, well, who the Joe Stubbs was. You know, you turned around, you stayed away from the idiots, and you got your... But we did our own work back then. You know, nobody screwed around.
Right.
And but these kids buy everything.
Yeah. You're right. You know, I remember, like, also my days, you know, with the motorcycle world. And my buddy still has a good, a thriving shop here in Nassau County. But you know, he'll talk about it. Like, you know, the clientele has changed over the years. Back in the day, it was all of our friends who were coming in, getting engine parts and cams and tranny stuff because he was wrenching it home. Now guys are coming in and buying, you know, chrome accessories and, you know,
fresh rags. All these guys turn around. They can't even degree a cam in, most of these kids. They never learned.
Yes, that's,
you know?
You're right. And, you know, to some degree, crate engines could be considered the demise of that to some degree because guys don't have to know how to do it.
Well, listen, you remember going to LT Auto Parts and watching me and my partner. We built motors in the back. We bought motors from scratch. We do all our own machine work. You know, it's not
that's
like
right.
today.
That's the way it was done.
These kids buy motors. They buy motors and there's no ingenuity. Nobody's faster than the next guy because they're all running the same stuff.
Right. Again, Mike makes that sound. That statement kind of gets glossed over, Joe.
Right.
But his partner, Richie, they would come in and it was clandestine. It would be at night.
Right.
In the aisle, and it was only because it was far enough from Maspeth that nobody else could see what the hell they would do, and they had to come to Nassau County to build the motor. And
yep.
it was like things were different in the shop that day, and like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, Richie's coming down tonight. Oh, you know, it was like an event, you know. Get the beer, you know. Get enough beer. You don't need an ashtray. He just let the ashes fall into the cylinders when he built the motor. It was hilarious.
What?
But
that's the way it does. That helps.
Fast cars
helps him break in.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Listen,
yeah.
I remember Jack Merkel being down my... Listen, Jack Merkel coming to my uncle's gas station where he ran the 8X Modified back in Maspeth. He tried to run the... At that time, you had coupes with Hillborns. And, you know, basically, you went out and you got an L88 block and you blueprinted, balanced it, put a set of Mondellos on it, you ran an alcohol, and you went out to Freeport Stadium and ran it with Hillborns on it.
Yeah.
And he was blowing away Merkel's motors. And Merkel came down the shop. He said, I just can't understand it. And... Old man Frank there with a cigar in his mouth. He turned around as a modified coupe was idling there. He dumped his ashes down the injectors and gave it a little buzz on the throttle. I can't explain why.
Right. No, that's funny. Cool stuff. Yeah, you know, that's that was all good days.
Yeah,
good days for sure.
That was a thing back then. Like some guys would lie.
Back when you had real street races, not like those that stage stuff they show on cable.
Right.
And those guys only run an eighth mile anyway. That's not drag racing.
Yeah.
You know that.
I know. You know. Well, yeah, it is. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for participating. That was great info. We always love.
We
missed hearing from you. Look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Enjoy what's left of the holiday, boys.
Thank you, man. Mike. So long.
Bye.
And we should mention, yes, Memorial Day, we do have to honor our veterans.
Our fallen veterans,
but you know what? We are going to go back to
the
phones, and we're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello. Is this Professor Ray or Joey D?
It's the Big Man.
Well, that's actually you.
Now, what's up, Howie?
It's both of us. How you doing, Howie?
What's up, man? I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm at the Wantour train station.
Oh, the Buick show, right?
In a lonely part, lonely parking lot. I'm at the 40th anniversary of the Long Island Buick Club. And we got about here about 92 cars.
That's where we should have bought the Skylark today. It should have been over there. For
No, we really wanted to be on the beach, but please, you know, all the aircrafts are are crowding the beaches these days.
I'll bet. Yeah, today is a big day for that kind of stuff, too. But that was always, I've been to that show a couple times. I met up with you, and that's a very nice show. It's a nice venue, you know what I mean, over there by the train station there.
Right, and, we got some vendors here. We have some food. We have some unusual cars, especially the Riata's area, the Riverhead area. And it's, I brought my Buick. I have an 89 Buick Regal Grand Sport. I kind of cleaned it about five times. It was a black car. Now it's white.
Nice.
That's great. That's a nice example of the newer body style Buicks. All right, what do you got? A lot of classic Buicks there, or 60s, 70s stuff, older?
Yes, absolutely. 60s, 70s stuff. We have some early ones in the early 1900s, 1905, 1911.
Wow.
We were representing all classes, including even a modified one, that even you guys would like. There was, I think, a modified one that Professor Ray would like.
Wow. Okay. Well, we like modified stuff. That's right.
Buicks are cool. Definitely.
It's sort of set up like an El Camino, an old Buick, late 50s Buick.
Interesting.
I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah, do that, Howie, please. All right, well, listen, you enjoy that show. We got to take our last break, and we'll talk again soon.
Great to hear from you, Howie. Hey. Don't be a stranger.
Hey, be well.
Thanks,
be
Howie.
Strange. Won't be a stranger. Be well, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our last break here, and the one thing they don't have there, I don't think they have any off-road vehicles at the Buick show.
No. Well, I mean,
maybe Crosstrek's? Crosstrek vehicle?
That's Subaru.
Could you put them together and have a Crossroader vehicle?
Like
I don't know.
They have the Enclave, and they got some that they have a couple of sort of kind of crossover SUVs, but
if you put them together, it would be a Crossroader. I don't know. Let's see what happens. We'll see what goes on at the Buick show.
Was that why the chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's see on Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino. Joe D. We'll be back in a sec.
See, you can't get none of that stuff past me today.
I know. On 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motor Mouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motor Mouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Well, Well, yeah, Joe, we're the man that they're looking for if you want to find trouble. Because
if you're looking for that trouble, where do you go? Especially if it involves some type of scan tool or wrencher.
Or across some kind of crossroader vehicle. Yes, we can do that, too.
We can, yeah. So yeah, bring it on. We'll fix it.
We still got a little time left. Give us a call, 516-572-7440.
Yeah, tell us what you're doing out there like the big man just did. You know?
I did find out that our compatriot Chris has gotten his Chrysler 300 back on the road. It's back on its feet and back in the driveway.
Yes. And it's not leaving any kind of vapor or smoke or some kind of slime trail or something. It's an actual functioning vehicle that does not require a huge automotive diaper.
He had gotten all of the fuel system fixed. He did the brake lines and has some new tires on the car. So he's getting ready to get on the road. I said, next thing I said, slap a plate on it and take it around a block. He goes, yeah, that's going to be next.
That large truck of coffee we saw headed towards his way, I guess he used it all, huh?
I guess the tanker truck of espresso made it to him, right?
God bless him, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are an industrious soul, Mr. Swizz.
He worked quicker than I thought he would.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth.
I think he's inspired.
I guess so. And you know what? I think what it is too, Joe, Mark Warman said this. It was on our Mother's Day show. Again, you find that on our website if you want to go to past shows. He said, start with the best car you can get.
Right.
And you'll have an easier time of restoring it. Let's see what's on this restoration line. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello?
Unless you don't want to talk to us.
I can hear you being quiet. Come on.
Maybe not. Okay. They were probably trying to order a pizza and dial the wrong number.
We got butt dialed.
It was one of Kim's callers, and they were just trying to, prank us again. No, he's trying again. So we'll do this. We'll do that. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Dr. Jeffrey. How you guys doing?
Dr. Jeff, what's happening?
What's happening?
Well, you asked what we were doing today, so today I'm repurposing a cooling fan from my dead 2001 Mazda Tribute, which is really a Ford Escape.
Right.
That started a rod knock a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
And there's so much rust underneath, it's kind of scary.
Wow, yeah.
I needed a cooling fan for one of the window air conditioners in my house because we can't afford a new one, so I put it on the outside of the air conditioner.
Oh, geez.
That is excellent. As long as you keep that condenser happy, yeah, what the heck? It doesn't care where the air is coming from.
But now, wait a minute. The AC is 110 volts and the fan is 12 volts. What are you doing? You're doing like a step-down transformer? How are you powering that baby?
Battery charger.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
Excellent.
12-volt battery charger. You can get a solar charger, too, so it can even be powered by the sun.
I told you, Dr. Jeffrey, it was very resourceful.
I like that. Well, you see, I didn't ask because I doubted him. I asked him because I wanted to see what I could learn from him. And
yes.
Because we can all share that knowledge, you know?
We were on the night shift together at Standard, waiting for those phone calls from, the left coast and whatnot. And some of the conversations, it was very enlightening on a number of levels.
Nice.
Yes. So that's pretty good.
Someplace on an old hard drive, I still have all those.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Oh, you kept them, too? Yeah, I used to record my calls, yeah. I know. Because some of that stuff, you're like, no, the guy didn't actually say that. The guy didn't actually. Yeah, he did.
Well, I've seen some of the replies you've made to people sometimes, Joe, and I said, did he just say that?
Yeah, I know, Bill. Customer service being what it is.
Yeah, customers being what they are.
Yeah, exactly, yes. And, yeah, someplace I actually have, what part of a bad ground don't you understand?
We got to make T-shirts.
Yes. you remember that one where I stood on the desk, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you're doing some repurposing. Anything automotively going on there, or everything's copacetic?
No, I got a 2001 Kia Rio that's got a whacked out transmission, so I got to change the transmission in that.
Oof,
which is always fun when you don't have a driveway or a lift or an engine hoist.
Yeah, that makes it challenging, sure.
That's going to be cool. Well, you're going to get a couple of guys from the local gym to pick it up or something?
No, I put it up on four jack stands, and I dropped the whole drivetrain out the front end.
Yeah, right, okay. Okay, that works, too. Yeah, just...
Now, what are you using, floor jacks to drop the cradle out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a controlled lower. I mean, you got to trust those jacks. You got to have good jacks.
Gravity's a female dog.
Yeah, they're from Harbor Freight.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what? I tell you something. There's a couple tire shops I see by me, and they're all using those Daytona jacks. They must have 6, 8, 10 of them out there.
Yeah. You know, that stuff ain't, you know.
We got one at the shop. It's a pretty good little jack.
Right. I mean, we used to make fun of them at one point, but, you know, their stuff is pretty decent these days. You know what I mean?
You got to know what to buy, and those Daytona jacks are pretty nice. Yeah.
Right. You got to find the stuff that didn't come over on the slow boat. You got the ones that actually decided to come through customs, you know?
Right, right.
It's like, what's this? Tuna fish cans.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Oh, cool.
Good. So, yeah, are you going to rip down the Kia train, or you got another unit to slide in?
Yeah, I actually found one up in Connecticut for $100.
Not bad.
Oh, cool.
Not bad.
It's actually a Ford transmission.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking not Jatco. I was thinking it was one of them other, you know, like Asian trainees there, but okay. Ford, huh? Kia.
Yeah, it's a FA4 or an F4A, I think. It's a little four-speed.
Right.
3-speed overdrive, locking converter.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Nice.
Kia, the checker of Asia.
There you go. So, quick trip to Connecticut, and you're back on the road again. You'd be Willie Nelson.
Not bad, man.
On the road again, yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Joe just put a straw hat on, and he has a corn cob pipe all of a sudden. Where'd that come from?
You know, yeah, I told you.
What are you burning in that pipe?
There's a lot of stuff in them pockets you don't know about. You never know what's in Joe's pocket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, keep us up on that, Doc Jeff, please, and let us know how that transpires.
You with us still?
No sweat.
Yeah, man.
Love your show.
Stay
talk
in touch, bro.
Take care. So long. Bye-bye.
Wow, do we just like flambe another hour?
We did. And,
my
and,
God.
And we don't have to do two more.
Oh, seriously.
We get to go home. We get to go to our barbecues. I'm going out to St. James. I'm heading out east.
Right.
Going to go out with the family to a friend's house. And
I don't have to sit there and make Kevin. Use of the blue plastic houses over there. Because
you going north by the bridge today?
I'm going by Whitestone now. Actually, yeah. A lot of my family's out in Montauk right about now.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
But Mike's around, so we'll do the hang.
That's
either
good.
That or we'll see what's happening at the U date.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They probably got the barbecues going inside.
Is there any other place to do it?
I know in the winter it was a good source of heat, but not that place needs extra heat anyway. But
yeah, well, I mean, you know, sometimes it also does good to it keeps the interior smelling. You know, you don't want that musty smell, but
charcoal-y, yes, charcoal is a it's a
you want to keep that ambiance and fragrance going there. You know,
and it's good to know if you do have like intestinal gas, you can take charcoal tablets.
Right,
they're actually good. They actually absorb gas.
No kidding.
True.
The only thing is if they fail though, do you, is it like gunshot?
Yeah, like a diesel backfire. No, not really. It's
rolling coal.
Yeah. Right. Got that right.
We made it through. Okay. So what's coming up, right?
We're working on a guest for next week. He hasn't confirmed yet. And then coming up, we're going to
have. He
still
hasn't worked up the courage.
We're going to have Steve Bertolini, the guy who does the motorcycle training class outside of our studio.
Excellent.
Speaking of courage.
Excellent. In 2 weeks. And then Dan Short is coming back on from the Phantom Works TV show in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And we'll be rolling along with other guests here on Motor Mouth Radio, so we'll be.
In other words, we won't bore you with just ourselves. So
no,
we'll have other people to twist your brains there.
Exactly. So that's it. We're going to be getting out of here. We're going to go do our thing. Happy holidays and all. Have a good
and make sure
Memorial
you step down your 120 to 12 before you hook up that
exactly
that other stuff there.
For Joe D, Ray Guarino is out of here. Motor Mouth Radio. We'll see you next week
on WHPC
90.3 WHPC. See
bye.
Ya.